Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with Ed Alexander. Ed's producing and engineering our show for us today. And together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It is Tuesday, the 23rd of June, 2015. We're coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. We live stream the show on the station's fine website, kvoi.com, and then on my website as well, buckmastershow.com, buckmastershow.com, the place for all of our podcasts, completely free of charge for you. You can listen to any of our programs. We have the complete show archive available 24/7 there at buckmastershow.com. We're going to begin with a conversation with the Fire Chief of the Year, Les Cade, of the Rio Rico Fire District. Chief Cade heads up that district. Then about 20 past the hour, Shelley Fishman with our Tuesday Moneymaker Report. And Shelley just gave me the signal that the market today is basically flat. So we'll find out what's going on there. 12:30, Margaret Burkholder joins us, Tucson City Council candidate. And then we'll close out this noon hour, Dan Gibson, A Visit Tucson. Dan is up in Scottsdale, I believe. They're having their big tourism, state tourism meeting, and the news was really good. A record number of visitors came to Arizona last year, so that's good news. Dan's also going to host our Every Other Tuesday Arts Report presented by Fox Tucson Theater. The live line number is 790-2040, and our Facebook page, if you'd like to join us on Facebook, we welcome you. It's easy to find under my name, Bill Buckmaster. Rio Rico Fire District Chief Les Cade was awarded the distinction by his colleagues of the Arizona Fire Chiefs Association, naming Les the Fire Chief of the Year. Les serves as the co-chair of the U.S. EPA Border 2020 Arizona-Sonora Emergency Preparations Task Force. I've known Les for years, had the honor of knowing Les for years. I think I first met you, Les, certainly when you were at the Tucson Fire Department.
That's right. That's right, Bill.
And you joined the fire service at Tucson Fire back in 1979. You retired from Tucson Fire as deputy chief in 2004, then went on to work for Rural Metro. You were a regional chief for several years there before you took over the fire chief position in Rio Rico, and you're very happy there, and you started there in 2011. Les, it's good to reconnect with you.
Bill, thank you. It's great to be here. Great to see you, as always.
And congratulations. That's really an honor. There are 300 fire chiefs approximately in this state, and they think you are worthy, and I agree with them, being chief of the year.
Well, I'm not sure. It just wasn't a war of attrition, and I just beat them down. But it certainly is an honor to be recognized by your peers, and I thank the men and women of the Rio Rico Fire District for supporting me to allow me to do some of the things that I'm able to do.
Well, one of the things you've been able to do, and this is starting to catch on around the state of Arizona, and other states are also looking at it. It's something called Arizona Community,
Integrated Paramedicine.
Integrated Paramedicine. Folks may not realize that because they don't have a primary care doctor, they don't have health insurance, but guess what they do? They call 911 and they want medical attention. It may not necessarily be life-threatening, but you get a lot of calls from folks like that, don't you?
That's correct. And it's interesting. Well, looking back, at the history of the fire service, for the last 50 years, the fire service, U.S. Fire Service, has provided emergency medical services. However, when I was younger and as a medic, we would go in and see someone suffering from chronic disease who is a high utilization user of 911. We call them a 911 EMS loyalty customer. And they would come in and call us. We would take them for, look at them, get their blood pressure, their vitals, take them to the emergency room. And we might talk to another crew a couple days later that did the same thing again to these individuals. So they're going 4, 5, 6 times over the course of a couple months into the emergency department. That costs the system a ton of money. With the Affordable Care Act, no matter which side of the coin you're on, you know, is politically on with the Affordable Care Act, they're really trying to look at the continuum of care and make sure that it's a patient-centered care and is coordinated care. The fire service is really the, in many cases, kind of the gatekeeper to the emergency medical services and hospitals and stuff. So what we're trying to do is we've decided it's looking at the data. It's cheaper to send two people out in the, at 2 in the afternoon than to send 4 or 6 firefighters and medics out at 2 in the morning because they've had a heart attack. It's about prevention.
Right. So what do they do? What kind of a prevention do they offer to these individuals?
So they'll go out and see these individuals. First of all, they have to agree on being part of a participant in the program. Mm-hmm. But we partnered with, for example, Arizona Poison and Drug Information Center, who is kind of our support for medical medication management. A large majority of people that take medications aren't sure why they're taking those medications. So we can go out and do a medication reconciliation. Arizona Poison and Drug Information Center helps us with that. They can then, if there's something that's showing a discrepancy, they can get a hold of the PCP and do a peer-to-peer consult. We had one individual in our program that was taking 5 different antidepressants from 5 different PCPs.
Oh,
so obviously there wasn't a connection between those primary care physicians and the patient. And so what we're trying to do is be the eyes, ears, and hands of the physician in that home, which is, you know, a different way of looking at it. It's, we're looking at a 30-day view rather than a 30-minute view in an emergency situation.
This program began in 2014, and are you getting some good feedback so far, Les?
We're getting tremendous feedback, and we were fortunate enough. I had one of my paramedics who was taking a public health course at the University of Arizona came forward in 2014, asked me about community paramedicine, how much I knew. After, you know, doing a little bit of research, the light bulb went on and I realized how important this was. We actually put together some focus groups and have really kind of built slowly, working with our medical director, Arizona Department of Health Services, to build the capacity to engage the community to take care of their own health. So the firefighters, this is a great idea for them. They love it. We're seeing somebody in a lot less stressful situation.
You know, they've scheduled an appointment.
They've scheduled an appointment,
yes.
And we come out to their house.
Yeah.
And so it's really kind of a win-win. Now the outreach is we've actually received a HRSA grant from Health and Human Services, and we're going to do the evidence-based science. We're going to do a published study. We want to have science-based outcomes and prove that it not only helps the patient, but it saves the system money.
And other communities looking at this, I think you mentioned to me Oro Valley is starting to take a
Golden Ranch is doing a study, Golden Ranch Fire. Sierra Vista is going to be starting up. Up in the valley in Mesa, Mesa Fire Medical is doing some things. They're using a little less traditional. They're getting a physician's assistant on their truck. But it is really a really exciting time in the fire service because we're looking at how to help our communities, how to build this collaborative effort, because we're not a resource unless people understand what we can do and that we're out there.
Well, it's really thinking outside the box. You're to be congratulated. This is really sounding like it's going to pay off. And ultimately, when people call 911, someone has to pay for that, and that's the taxpayers.
Exactly. And if you do any kind of a reading on, there's an inebriant study in San Diego of high utilization users. 17 patients tracked over 1 year used the ED 419 times, and plus or minus, the numbers aren't exact, but it cost the system over $1.4 million. Mm-hmm. That goes into, that comes out of the taxpayers' pocket. So really the savings and better patient outcomes. So let's look at what the underlying health cause is, why these people are using 911.
Speaking with Rico Fire District Chief Les Cade, he is Arizona's Fire Chief of the Year. And Les, what about the fire season? And I've only got about 2 minutes to go, but a quick recap. Folks may be thinking, well, the monsoon begins here this week. Are we out of the woods?
No, we're just starting into the woods, unfortunately. We love the rain, but, you know, we've got to be preventative in what we're doing. If we're going out camping or using, you know, the outdoors, let's make sure the campfire safety, and we're responsible about that. One Less Spark campaign. You can look on Arizona State Forestry Division website. They've got some great sites to look at. They're a partner, but recreational shooting, I know there's, you can go out different areas and shoot. Make sure you're not ricocheting bullets. You go down I-19 right now, you can see where people have dropped cigarettes out. There's burns all along the side of the road. So we've really got
to
be
irresponsible to do something like that this any time of year to do anything like that. So, and of course, we'll have the monsoon, we're going to have lightning strikes, so this is a really kind of a touch and go time for all of you folks in the fire service. Just curious, Les, when all the fire chiefs get together like they do, the hundreds of them, is there a common problem that you all talk about?
There is, and I think part of it is that the fire service doesn't market ourselves enough. People don't know that we do things outside the fire service, emergency medical service, hazmat response, technical rescue. We're the ones that go out and get people when they drive into the washes. Don't drive into a flooded wash, another point upcoming to be aware of. Getting people off of cliffs, down the side of cliffs in a motor vehicle accident.
So the perception is that firefighters just go fight fires.
Go fight fires, and we sit around the rest of the day doing anything.
Yeah, I mean, right. So... And we were also talking briefly before we went on the air, in rural areas like Santa Cruz County, which would be one of our rural counties of Arizona, there's a tremendous shortage of medical providers.
The PCP ratio, primary care physicians per person, is much lower there. We also don't have public transport. You know, we don't have the availability of somebody calling a taxi to go get help or go to see a family member. We kind of live in a rural area, which people love, but there's some downside to that.
Okay, Les Cade, thank you very much. And again, congratulations on a well-deserved honor to you, Les, and all the best to you.
Bill, thank you so much.
Les Cade with us here on The Buckmaster Show. Coming up, Shelley Fishman with our Tuesday Moneymaker Report. Shell's next after this.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
American Openings is pleased to be a sponsor of Good News Radio Broadcasting, featuring local news and information on AM 1030 KVOI, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ on KGMS 940 AM, positive and encouraging music on 88.1 FM K-Love, and pop classics on KCEE 690 AM. American Openings is a locally owned door and window manufacturer, concerned about our community and proud to be a partner with Good News Radio to help make our community a better place.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering its promises, completing 149 out of 200 intersection improvements, 48 of 80 pedestrian safety crossings, 108 of 200 bus pullouts, and 226 miles of 500 promised bike lanes. Since the 2006 voter approval of the RTA plan, some 650 projects are completed. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at RTAmobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
Shelley Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And we strongly recommend and hope that a financial advisor is a certified financial advisor, one, and two, that he's Shelly Fishman. Hello, Shell. How's your week going?
Week is going very well, Bill. You know, market's doing okay, and things seem to be calming down in Europe, and people are actually thinking there's, you know, a light at the end of the tunnel, and it's not an oncoming train. I think I'm feeling, just in the past couple of weeks, a little bit more optimistic about mm-hmm. both the direction and the pace of progress and economic growth than I was maybe even a month earlier.
A little bit of stabilization in our market.
Yeah, less uncertainty. And the durability of the market to laugh in the face of headwinds has been just remarkable.
And we are staying above 18,000, which is a very good sign.
You know, cross your fingers and the creek don't overflow.
Yeah.
but yes, it seems to have established a floor. And in all three major indices, the S&P, the NASDAQ, and also the Dow. So hopefully we can move forward from here.
Shelley, should as a part of the investment portfolio for a client, whether they're your client or any client, should permanent life insurance be a part of that portfolio?
Okay, it depends. First of all, you need to have a portfolio for life insurance to be a part of it. So if you're not saving, if you're not investing, if you don't have a written plan for your retirement, if you don't know what road you're going to go down, and then of course any road will get you there. So the short answer to the question is it can very easily be a meaningful part of a portfolio. It would, by definition, be the most conservative part of your portfolio because it's going to give you a guaranteed minimum return on that on your invested premiums, and that return is likely to be pretty low, but it's also likely to be guaranteed. So As part of the funds that you intend for your beneficiaries, it can in fact be a very meaningful part of how you take care of the people or organizations that you want to leave money to when you're gone.
You said a word that jumps out at me, guaranteed. And when it comes to financial matters, there are very few guarantees. I mean, I guess someone can take money and they can buy a bank CD. They're not going to get virtually no interest.
Well, and that's the problem. The lower the risk, the lower the return. Mm-hmm. And that's just a general rule. Mm-hmm. So if you have an investment that is guaranteed by, say, the federal government, the FDIC, that's as close to guaranteed as you're going to get, okay? If you're buying the treasury notes or treasury bonds, that's, again, considered to be as low a risk of default as you're ever going to get. Now, there are other risks. For instance, there's inflation risk. And there's risk of what interest rate you could get at the maturity of a bond. So there's that kind of risk. But default risk pretty much goes away in those circumstances. With insurance, the insurance company's ability to pay its obligations is what guarantees the column on your illustration that says this is guaranteed for you. The history of insurance companies being able to pay is better than excellent. It's wonderful. I can only think of one case where an insurance company got into such bad trouble that it had trouble paying its obligations, and that is many, many years ago and not in this state.
What would happen if an insurance company had financial problems?
Keep in mind that the insurance companies are regulated by each state, and there are funds that are set aside to take care of their obligations. In addition to which, when a company gets into trouble, what will normally happen is another company will assume its obligations and take it over.
So is the what you said it depends for this. Who might be a good candidate for having permanent life insurance in their portfolio?
Well, I'll give you an example. Okay. And remember, permanent life insurance is not term life insurance. Permanent life insurance is the kind of life insurance that you intend to keep until you die and to have the insurance company then pay your beneficiaries. Or it's the kind of insurance that builds up cash value over time that you intend to take one way or another, either borrow against it or cancel the policy. There are tax implications if you do certain things, probably, you know, too complex for us to get into in any degree of detail. But I'll give you a perfect example. Somebody called me. Actually, they called me when I was in Rome.
Really?
And they said, you know, we're really concerned about leaving enough, you know, having a legacy for our two kids, and we'd like to look at insurance that could leverage up the money in our portfolio. And, you know, it turns out that even if they live to 100 and keep on paying premiums every year, the return on that investment when they die at 100 would still be about 3.5% or 4%. Now, that's not bad. Now, of course, if they take the insurance and die tomorrow, the return on that investment is massive. If they die in 15 or 20 years or when the actuarial tables say their life expectancy runs out, their return is 8 or 9% on that investment. So, you know, where are you going to get a guaranteed investment that would pay you 8 or 9%? Now, if they live to 120, it's a rotten investment. Because now they're paying premiums just to make sure the insurance company pays up, but they've probably gone negative. So insurance is a product. It has its uses. If you can afford it and if it makes sense for your particular situation, it can be, you know, something that is very valuable. We used to use insurance as a way of making sure that your estate taxes are taken care of and that liquidity in the estate happens. But with estate taxes today kicking in at $5-something million per person, that use of insurance is you know, far less meaningful or even prevalent. But if you want to take, let's say, a couple who's going to pay $10,000 a year for, say, $500,000 worth of insurance to leave to their child, and, you know, $10,000 a year you know, you've got to live for a long time before that $10,000 a year equals the $500,000. So it can be a nice way of leveraging up, especially if you're healthy. And there's a kind of insurance called second to die, where a couple takes the insurance. And the rate is really based not on the person who may not be as healthy as the other person, but it's underwritten based upon the healthier person's life expectancy. And so the rates come down. The premiums are actually less than if you were only to insure one person.
Really? I didn't realize
that. There's lots of ways of doing it. You should talk
to
an expert.
So it's like a couple's insurance.
Exactly. Yeah. Second to die insurance. And and then, you know, let's say you've got $500,000 saved up.
Yeah.
And you want to be able to feel free about using that during your lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
The insurance guarantees that your beneficiary is taken care of, and it kind of lets you kind of use the money you've accumulated without the feeling of guilt. Oh my God, I'm going into the charity's money. I'm going into my son's money, etc.
Right.
It can be very, very interesting.
All right, Shelley Fishman, a wealth of knowledge about financial information. Shelley would be happy to talk with you about any financial issue.
That's my job.
That's what he does. Shelley, where do people find you?
BuckmasterShow.com, and then use the hyperlink to get to me and send me an email.
Okay, Shelley, it's good talking with you, and I hope you have a great week.
You too, Bill.
Thanks a lot. 12:30 now on Buckmaster.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is an LPL Financial planner. Shelley can be reached at 520-940-0884. Or at his website, shelleyfishman.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garber on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Hi. Wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us.
How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
Oh, as good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $99 per month. Plus, get your first month free. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 8/30/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Wednesday for a newsmaker interview with Cam Juarez. Mr. Juarez is a member of the TUSD Governing Board. Also, we'll talk with our health contributor, Dr. Victoria Mazes. She's the Executive Director of the UA-based Center for Integrative Medicine. Buckmaster on AM 1030, KVOI The Voice, and check out our website, buckmastershow.com, for live streaming and all of our podcasts. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show as we push toward 12:34. This portion of the program brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. A great place to get away on a very, very hot day in Tucson, Arizona. 3 hours east of Tucson, up in the mountains, about, 6,000 feet elevation. That makes for mild days. Cool nights, great for hiking, camping, exploring historic Silver City, or just really relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of the many places to stay, like Georgetown Cabins or Continental Divide RV Park. You can visit again southwestnewmexico.org. In our effort to introduce the Buckmaster Show to the three Republican candidates who are newcomers to politics but are running for three council seats, we are today going to talk with Ward 4 candidate Margaret Burkholder. Margaret is a math teacher at La Paloma Academy. She served 10 years as a Vail School District Governing Board member, including 2 years as the board president and 6 years as board clerk. Did I get that right, Margaret?
Correct.
And in fact, you have a meeting tonight. Right?
Yep.
At Vail. First of all, good to see you and thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
To talk a little bit about your candidacy, you are challenging the longtime incumbent Democrat, Shirley Scott. So why did you decide to go for this office?
Well, because I love my city and I love my family and I want my family to have a future here in this city. And let me digress just a second. I have to say, your opening was talking about Silver City in Grant County. That's where I graduated from college and where I met my husband.
How about
was
that?
Was at Western New Mexico.
I had no idea.
No,
but that is a wonderful segue. And the people over in Silver City will be very glad to hear. We send a lot of Buckmaster Show listeners over there. It's a great getaway and a lot
beautiful
of people in Tucson.
Four mild seasons.
Yeah.
It is a wonderful place to live. My dad still has property over there.
Wow.
And so my husband and I, we met in college. And of course, he was a Tucsonan. So when we got married, I came back to Tucson. So Tucson has been my home for 20 years now.
Wow.
And I love this. I'd have to say, this is some of our hardest weather that we're going through.
Yeah, this is kind of the difficult time
this
of year.
This is, but I see the clouds starting to form in the southern border, and I'm excited about our monsoons coming. It's always a favorite time of mine.
So did you go to school over at Western?
I did. I went to school at Western. I graduated from high school in Sierra Vista. My mom was a civil servant on Fort Huachuca, and then my mom was going to be moving to Georgia, and I love the Southwest. I wanted to stay. So when I was a sophomore, I transferred to Western New Mexico University and then let my mom move to the East Coast. And I stayed here and met John, and the rest is history.
So. Yeah, and folks who have not been over to Silver City, check out Western. That is really a neat little campus.
It is. It's a beautiful campus.
It really is a beautiful campus.
It's the size of some of Tucson's high schools. And
yeah,
that's what I love is that you know the people that are on campus. And it's about relationships and building those friendships that last a lifetime.
So. And you would like to build relationships right now with potential voters.
Absolutely. So I want to be able to talk a little bit about me and why you should vote for me for city
and
council.
Why should people vote for you?
Yeah, I will. I was the year I graduated from Western, I was the only woman to graduate with a degree in mathematics. And my first love was not mathematics. I love history. I love writing. I love reading. But one of my history professors gave me some great advice. He says, Margaret, we need good math teachers. So I came, and at Palo Verde High School, I did my student teaching to be a high school math teacher. And that has been my career, and it's definitely the right fit for me, because I realize there's challenges in life, and we just have to get past those challenges if we want to get to success. And for me, it was being able to challenge myself to break out of my comfort zone and to do well in a subject that was challenging for, I think, many Americans would agree.
Well, what's wrong with the incumbent who's currently serving in Ward 4?
Not willing to take on the challenges that this city has. We have a budget problem. If you look, what are the top issues for most Tucsonans? I'd say most Tucsonans are frustrated with their roads, they're frustrated with all the empty businesses, and they're frustrated by the lack of job opportunities for them and for their children. And all three of those come back down to the budget. How is the budget being allocated? We have a $1.4 billion budget. It's hard to argue that there's not enough money to fix the roads and to pay our police and our firefighters. It's hard to argue that. So how are we budgeting? And people have asked, what's wrong? And I'm very much, let's go back and look at the data. Let's not look at symptoms. Let's go back and look at the disease to figure out how we're going to treat this. Tucson has one of the largest the number of nonprofits per capita of any city in the United States.
I think it may have more than any other, per capita.
Yes, per capita. Which, what does that say about Tucson? That we are a loving, caring city. Mm-hmm. We want to take care of our neighbors. So we have to take care of our neighbors, but first, if I want to take care of my neighbors and if I want to give, first I have to have my family in order. And then I can give, put my finances in order, and then give. So we have so many nonprofits that are going out to the few benefactors in our community, all vying for the same dollars. We really need to grow that community of wealth in our city. You know, we're the fifth poorest city in the country. We are the poorest county. Pima County is the poorest county in Arizona. We need to grow wealth and viability in our own families. Let's look at the family level. How can we grow strong middle-class families that can all give to those that are less fortunate, so and to give the issues that are important to them?
Excuse me, Margaret, but how does your experience on the school board translate to what could be you on the council?
It's very much, I've realized the importance of leadership. I've realized the importance of looking at data to make decisions and having to be courageous in making those decisions. So I work with Mr. Calvin Baker, who's the superintendent in Vail, and I would argue he's the best superintendent in Arizona and even best in the country. I'd make that argument. And we've had lots of conversations about leadership at the school level and what needs to happen. We have great people who work in our district, but there are times that it's not the right fit, that you're just not the right person for this job, and we have to make those difficult decisions and move leaders so that our schools are performing. So I very much look at the data, look at the achievement data, look at how many teachers are coming and going in different schools, and say, hey, how does this, is this caused by leadership, and what changes do we need to make? And there are times that I've made votes that did not make me very popular with a group of parents. And you'll find out I'm very honest, and I'll just speak forthright. I said to a family, if I were in your circumstances, I would be as angry and frustrated as you are. I get it. But I have to make decisions based on what's best for the whole district, not what's best for a handful of families.
Margaret Burkholder is with this candidate, Republican candidate in Ward 4. Vail wasn't always the top school district.
No, it wasn't. When I was elected to the board 10 years ago, I'm serving my third term. When I was elected 10 years ago, we were ranked 50th. We were very average. Mm-hmm. And we made some very intentional decisions between the superintendent, the school leadership, and the five board members. And we said, we are going to measure our success by the success of our students. Okay, that's our goal. We know we're successful when our students are successful. Then the second piece was, how do you what are those benchmarks? What are going to push us to that? And it was very clear. We said, we're going to address third grade reading and eighth grade mathematics. We're going to use those as benchmarks. If kids aren't reading by third grade, the data is very clear that they're going to continue to fall behind. So we've got to invest resources in those first 4 years of school. And then we also know, if kids aren't successful in eighth grade mathematics, are they going to be successful in high school mathematics? And that's very much a gate, whether it's allowing kids to attend college or not college, or even graduate now with the number of math credits that students need. We knew that those were the areas we had to invest in. And then we made some more choices, but it really came down to those decisions that were most important, and we saw the results.
So the priorities, you talked a little bit earlier about what the priorities, you would have to reevaluate priorities for the city of Tucson's
absolutely
budget.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And what would be at the top of the priority? Couple
priorities.
Of tops.
We have top to, priorities. If we're going to reprioritize the pie, we also need to be talking about making the pie, the budget,
right,
bigger.
Right.
And the only way to make the budget bigger, in my opinion, is to grow business and to grow the median income. So for me, I would look at success if our median income in Tucson grows. That would be a marker for success. Do we have more businesses moving and growing within our community, able to hire more people and pay them more money? And then those people in turn purchase things, and that sales tax is what drives our revenue.
Okay, Margaret Burkholder, where can people find out more about your campaign?
Our website is TucsonWins.com, and you can find me on Facebook at Margaret for Tucson.
Okay, Margaret, thank you very much. Nice meeting you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot. Margaret Burkholder with us on The Buckmaster Show as we push toward 12:45. We're going to talk with Dan Gibson of Visit Tucson next, right after this.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amato is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 650 projects to date, including pedestrian safety crossings, intersection safety improvements, and bus pullouts, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Bill Buckmaster. This week's Every Other Tuesday Arts Report on Buckmaster is sponsored by our friends at Fox Tucson Theater, presenting Hippie Fest 2015 on July the 9th. Experience the music of the 60s. That's the music of my generation, the baby boomers, music that shaped a generation and influenced every generation to come. Hippie Fest 2015 features, boy, what a lineup, all stars. Family Stone, going to be there, Grammy winner Rick Derringer, Mitch Ryder, and the Detroit Wheels will be part of the festivities. Badfinger, featuring Joey Meland, and they had a string of top 10 hits. All of them had a bunch of hits. So, I mean, Hippie Fest sounds like something that should be a lot of fun. Hippie Fest 2015 on July the 9th. Then guess who's coming? Lyle Lovett and his large band on Friday, July 24th. Get your summer and fall event tickets today at foxtucson.com. Let's welcome now on the Buckmaster Show, Mr. Dan Gibson of Visit Tucson, who is up in Phoenix at the big tourism event that's been going on up there, all the tourism people getting together. And there was some news, Dan, that good news that Arizona tourism enjoyed a very nice rebound. In fact, a record number of visitors, over 40 million last year to Arizona. That's good news. How are you, Dan?
I'm great. I mean, some of that is the Super Bowl, admittedly. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, we get a little bump from that stuff. But it was a good last year, good solid start to this year. Things are really looking up in the tourism business.
Well, one of the reasons we like to have you, and not only do we like you because you're a good guy, but we believe there is a link between the arts and tourism, and I know you believe that as well, and that's why you're kind enough to be with us on the Every Other Tuesday Arts Report once a month, and then we have Margaret Regan also with us once a month from the Tucson Weekly, longtime arts reporter. You do see that link, and you keep very up to date on what's going on in the arts, right, Dan?
A great place to live is a great place to visit, and the arts are certainly a big part of that. Great stuff happening. And you know, one of the distinctive things about Tucson, about this area, is the music, is, you know, the mariachi, the beautiful music of northern Mexico and the southwest. So the highlight of the week to me is Mariachi Miracle, a fundraiser for Dan Buckley's documentary on mariachi in Tucson. That's June 27th at 2 p.m. at the beautiful El Casino Ballroom. You can see bands like Fox Urbana, Los Changuitos Feos, Mariachi Luz de Luna, a huge list of bands, a whole like evening and afternoon and evening of entertainment, only $10 at the door. Also, you can get a $5 spaghetti dinner brought by parents of Mariachi Aslan of Pueblo High School. So, solid evening all around, and you're helping create this documentary that Dan Buckley will do a spectacular job with, I'm certain.
I am so glad you brought that up. Dan is a friend of ours, and I've known Dan a long time, and he works so hard putting the funding together for this documentary. It's just been a really love of his life.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, for me, selfishly, A, I wanted to see the movie, but also it's a great thing for us to share to people who might visit here so they get a sense of what's special about Tucson. On a totally different note, Best Dog Award to me. Tucson's hottest band. You can see them at Club Congress. They're sort of an indie rock band, a little, you know, Polyrhythms and organ and guitar. They're an incredible band. They're playing on Wednesday, July 1st to kick off their West Coast tour. 8 p.m., $5 all ages, which is relatively unique for Club Dongers. You can also see local band Shoulda Shook It with them and Phoenix's Strange Lot.
Hmm.
On a totally different note, I try to mix it up for you, Bill.
I appreciate it. Appreciate it.
Fire Weather, : The Dark Forest of Crystal Burn, sounds like a lost J.R.R. Tolkien novel, possibly. But it's actually a show at the Joseph Gross Gallery at the U of A Arts Complex. It's Monday through Friday through August 31st. It's really an amazing show. Some of the artists use found materials. There's these incredible bright colors. It sort of takes you into this technicolor forest of the Southwest. It's using a fair amount of influences in the Sonoran Desert. So very fantastic in every meaning of that word, these temporary murals. It's an incredible show, absolutely worth seeing this summer. Get out of the heat, into the air-conditioned confines of the Joseph Gross Gallery, which is right there at the U of A Arts Complex.
And again, the name of that exhibit?
Fire Weather, The Dark Forest of Crystal Burn.
Okay.
Also could be a Game of Thrones novel, I don't know. But in the art gallery thing, what everybody's talking about right now, MoCA, their mobile pools in their Great Hall. It's really a fascinating sort of like these their garbage containers that were turned into temporary pools, filling their whole space. They're sanitized. It has been approved by everybody in the health department. But it's only for members only, but if you're not a member of MoCA, you really should be because they have all these incredible shows. If you don't feel like swimming, you can also, in the East Wing, they have six artists. They gave them all a room to transform to a showcase for their vision. It's really a really incredible and interesting show. That runs Wednesday through Sunday, 12 to 5 p.m. If you're a member, you get to see that for free. If you're not a member, for $4, you can get into the Great Hall as well. Speaking of art, the artists of the Citizen Warehouse. There is a show at the Etherton Gallery. People like Nick Giorgio, Rand Carlson, Christina Cardenas. They work in the Citizen's Warehouse building, which is in the shadow of the Southern Pacific Railroad in the downtown area. Wide variety of art, from found objects like Rand Carlson does, to paintings, to bicycle art, to all kinds of stuff. It's an incredible show. That's Tuesday through Saturday at Etherton, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. You got one time for one more, Bill?
Yeah, I do. And Rand Carlson did a lot of work with The Weekly, right?
He did. He has a regular comic strip in there, random shots. Yeah, he's a great guy. He did the cover of our 30th anniversary issue as well.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I recall. Okay,
yes.
Give me another one.
Machine Museum.
Okay.
Really, like sort of a forgot, like a lost treasure in Tucson. Really a fun thing to do, especially if you need something to take the kids to this summer. They have a temporary show called Miniatures from the Mind's Eye of Rick Maladon. Rick is a local artist. He does these small-scale paintings and miniature, uses unusual containers. So you're looking at something, you're like, well, wait, what is that? And it's a Japanese box or a shell or something like that. It turns all kinds of things, these incredible miniature works. His show runs until August 2nd. Mini Time Machines close Mondays, but Tuesday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., Sundays noon to 4, $9 for adults, $8 for seniors and military, $6 for kids, or if they're 3 and under, it's free. I love the Mini Time Machine Museum. Absolutely, totally recommendation. If people have not been there, it is so much fun.
What do you think of this hippie fest that the Fox has coming? That's going to be fun.
Solid lineup. I am a big Badfinger fan. I don't know. I didn't think of them as a hippie band. If you can hear Without You or No Matter What, those Badfinger songs are solid. Family Stone, also, by the way. I mean, what an incredible band. So.
Very cool. Quick question about what's going on up in Phoenix, because tourism is so important, not only to this state, but of course to Tucson. What's kind of the takeaway message? I mentioned that we had that record number of tourists, but what are you learning up there, Dan Gibson?
It's been a little bit of a victory lap for our industry, right? Say like, oh, we're bigger than electronics and things like that, but also just how do we get in front of these different groups? What sort of areas are the Arizona Office of Tourism reaching out to, what states, what cities, sort of how we fit our own work within Tucson with that. There's been a presentation about websites, destination websites, generational marketing, how tourism is an economic driver. Our very own Brent Durrott is speaking about that this afternoon. It's a little everything. It's been a really good time. So I'm energized. I've got a whole list of things to do when I get back to the office on Wednesday.
And Sherry Henry, who is the director of the Arizona Office of Tourism, really presented a pretty optimistic outlook, didn't she, for the upcoming year?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean, we're just even the beginning of this year. Last year, we're up 4.1% on overnight visitors in the state. But just at the beginning of the year, we're already up 4.5% over last year. REVPAR is up. I mean, REVPAR is actually up 15%. Some of that is a Super Bowl bump. But, I mean, just think about the state, even just in a sporting sense. We had the Pro Bowl, the Super Bowl. Next year, we'll have the college football playoff championship game. The year after that, the Final Four in Phoenix. Tucson is bringing in more events and more things to do. The state as a whole has really brought this emphasis to, you know, telling people the story of what is special about Arizona, what makes it a great place to stay. And part of that is hopefully making it a better place to live through, you know, sales tax and all these economic generators. So
okay.
A lot of people employed in this business, that's for sure.
All right, Dan Gibson, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Dan Gibson with the Every Other Tuesday Arts Report on Buckmaster, presented by Fox Tucson Theater, announcing Lyle Lovett and his large band performing on Friday, July 24th. Lyle Lovett and the large band coming to the Fox, foxtucson.com, to purchase tickets for Lyle Lovett and the Hippie Fest 2015 on July the 9th, plus the full fall lineup of shows. The tickets are now on sale. The fall season includes, let me name a few of them here as time permits, Dana Carvey's coming, Emmy Lou Harris, and Rodney Crowell, UB40 featuring Ollie Campbell, Astro and Mickey Virtue, Libra is coming, Chubby Checker and the Wildcats, Melissa Etheridge, and the Last Comet Comic Standing Tour, along with the 10 Tenors, all coming to the Fox. FoxTucson.com for more. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. We have 4 Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw, another one of our local talk shows. We keep the local talk coming to you, and of course, 3 hours of talk in the morning. Chris and Joe do the Wake Up Tucson show, then Chris DeSimone and a guest host every day with the Daily Double from 8 to 9, and then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you, along with our friend Ed Alexander. Until then, have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at kvoi.com.